Hey, well, sunny and warm welcome from Medellin, Colombia. All right, you know, it's, really, it's great down there. There's a lot of really big things happening. We've been there for just over a year, and there's a reason why some of those things are happening. Psalm 81:10, you know, it says that I am the Lord your God, and I brought you out of Egypt. Open your mouth and I will fill it. Oh man, we've been praying big prayers down there. Just, oh, come on, you know, just, and God's been filling it up. It's amazing. The people, they're starting to really learn the grace, the finished work, the love of God. And they are really enjoying what we have here as a heritage that we go out and eat after service. That we go out and eat all during the week. I mean, we just meet together and have great fellowship. Actually, my office is in this really cool, coffee shop. And, those $1.50 cappuccinos really come in handy when you have two or three guys with you, right? You know, it's great. But hey, we're seeing that we have, started another work about an hour away. And that is going like really great, and people are very excited about that. We're just like so thankful, you know, so thankful for so many things. We have actually started because we needed a van, and so we had some people start to donate. So we're in that process of getting a van. It's like, will you open your mouth wide with us for the van, right? Let God fill it up. It's going to happen, right? We do that everywhere we go. God is faithful in that. And he says, listen, I brought you out for a reason. Get you out of there. Just open up. I will fill it up, and he will do those things in your life. It's happening here. You have an open door to come and visit. I just am so thankful for Silver Spring Church. Pastor Shibley came down 3 times in the first year. Hey, praise the Lord. You know, good. Hey, Pastor Manny's there right now. You know, it's the body of Christ. We recognize it. And guess what? They recognize it. They are so happy that we are like connected with Baltimore, connected with Silver Spring, you know, and they just feel such a part of this church here, and can't wait to have you come and for some others of, for them to come up here. It'd be great. Okay. Thanks.
Hey, it's good to be here, isn't it? Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I heard a few yeses. The rest of you are still sleeping. So I guess we'll have to have another dance session, right, Pastor Shallot, or wake everybody up. Half of you are up here. The other half was like, what the heck's going on? I just woke up last week, but it's good to be here with you all. I'm excited to see what God is doing. Pastor Brent, I'm excited. Colombia's a great place. I was there actually with Pastor Adam Nathanson many years ago. And I was actually had food poisoning, so I stayed in the hotel the whole time. Because I didn't go with you, you know. I was eating fruit on the street versus cappuccinos in a cafe. But it's good to hear what God is doing, and God is doing so many great things. Just a little testimony. 2 Saturdays ago, our church in Frederick, we had a worship and praise night. And usually we print off a bunch of flyers and hand them out and stick them on doors, and then like 2 people come. But this time we didn't do that at all. We did something different, and we rented a cafe and set up shop, and just living by faith, we prayed. And it was amazing to see what God did. We just kind of showed up, and people started coming and coming and coming. And they didn't stop coming, actually. We had, I think, 80 people on Saturday. Yeah. And they weren't all from Baltimore, by the way, either. Everybody asked, like, how many people from Baltimore were there? I'm like, yeah, there was only like 20 people total from Baltimore or from our church. So that means there was 40 or more, you know, from other churches or that heard about it on the streets. But here's the thing is, like, we were there for 3 hours. We weren't there for like a quick 45-minute praise session. We were there for 3 hours worshiping and praying. And it's amazing to see God do something. And then on Saturday, this past Saturday, how many of you guys were at the marriage seminar? Yeah, wasn't it a good time? I mean, I'm not just saying that because I was there. You know, thank you for allowing me to come, Ryan. You know, but it was a great time, wasn't it? It was a great venue, good food, good fellowship, and great word. And I was thinking about this. I want to turn in our Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. And let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will speak to us tonight, that your word will ring true to our ears, and you will encourage us in our hearts and give us an inner strength to persevere. We just thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy that helps us to get up each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. This verse is said a couple times in the Bible, and we're going to start in verse 8 and also read verse 9. It says, "For he that sows to his flesh shall reap of his flesh shall reap flesh and reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Isn't that a good verse? How many of you guys actually worked hard today? And you dragged your wife dragged you in here and said you're going to church? It happens often because in our flesh we have a tendency to work very hard. And why are we working? We are working so that we can put food on the table, you know, and meet our daily provisions. But here Paul is saying something a little bit different. And he's not condemning that, but he's pointing to something else that is very important in our lives, and is that we begin to look on the inward man. And how many times during the day are we at work and we're thinking about the inward man? And that's a good question that I think all of us could ask ourselves, and maybe we could use it as a challenge to think of God more, or to think of the supernatural more often. I mean, here's a good example. One of my apprentice guys, the guys that I work with, he's a Catholic and, you know, very devout, goes to Mass every week, and it seems like he loves the Lord. And somebody asked me the other day, "But does he believe in Jesus?" I said, "I want to ask him that question." And you know what? I never asked him the question. 2 weeks later, he has to leave work because he has to have heart surgery, and I'll never see him again. You know, and the point is, am I thinking about the supernatural? Am I thinking about the inner man? Because if I'm not, like, what's missing in my life is that I begin to not reap Zoe life. I love that word. You know, Zoe. I don't reap Zoe life or life everlasting. And that's what I want to be in my life, isn't it? Now let's go to verse 9. And this is like, it's interesting because both of these verses have been preached separately, and I've never heard them preached together. But this is so important. It says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing." Why? Because if I am sowing in the flesh, then what happens in my life is that I become weary. If I am sowing spiritual things, is it also possible for me to be weary? And Paul is here kind of alluding that even if you are sowing to the supernatural and if you're sowing into the inner man, that it's still possible for you to be weary. Oh, wait a minute. God has given me power. I'm seated in heavenly places. And you could go through the book of Ephesians and talk about positional truth and how God is going to give you the strength to overcome. And what do we say? Yes. Yes. And amen. But the truth is that we still become weary in well-doing, don't we? And we actually were talking about this at the marriage seminar. And we're talking from, let me see if I can get this, Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 12, actually. It says, "Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees." Isn't that a good verse? "Strengthen your hands which hang down and the feeble knees." I love both of these words because in the Greek, they mean so much more than acting like a monkey and dragging yourself around, you know. And here's the thing is, you know, slow down here. Hang down and feeble knees. Feeble knees, that means that your legs are paralyzed, that you no longer have a capacity to stand and move forward. And how often in our Christian life do we find ourselves paralyzed by the things of this world, which makes it impossible for us to go forward with God? And God is saying, I want you to sow spiritual things. I want you to reap with the Spirit, and I want you to have life everlasting, not only in the eternal, meaning like you're going to, you know, sit with Jesus someday in heaven, but in this life right here, in this bios, in this psyche, that you could have Zoe. But you're paralyzed. But here, like backing up, and your hands which hang down. We said this on Saturday. And this is so powerful. And it's saying the same thing in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Both of these words, hands hanging down and being weary, means the same exact thing. It means that you have zero capacity to hang on anymore. You have zero capacity to hang on anymore. Why do you have zero capacity to hang on? Because you are so weary in well-doing. Meaning that I am tired of doing what is right. That I am tired of doing what God has asked me to do. That I am tired of obeying the will of God. I am tired of leaning on God and having Him be my substance of faith. I am tired of meeting the bare minimum just to survive. I am tired, Lord. I am tired. I am tired of doing good. And I just can't hold on, God, anymore. I'm done. I've had enough. I've lost strength. And that's exactly what those words mean. It's not like, you know, I'm tired because I've worked so hard. You know, I've had a hard day at work. You know, today, you know, I had to finish the tile by a certain time of day before I left work. And then I had to do this and this, or I had to talk to these 7 people and make this appointment. I mean, whatever consumes you in the workplace, it is wearisome, isn't it? And it's amazing how that affects your spirits. And that's why we're here today. So that way we can be strengthened by God. But it is so interesting that we could be weary and well-doing. And here is who Paul is talking to. I mean, he's talking about it here in Hebrews 12, Galatians 6, 2 Thessalonians. He talks about the same exact thing. Who is he talking to? He's not talking to a bunch of Christians who are tired from their job. He's not talking to a bunch of Christians who worked hard all day and they went and did half an hour or 45 minutes of evangelism on Saturday. He's not talking to those people. That's what we are dealing with today, and this message rings true. But who he's talking to is so much deeper than that. He's talking to a group of believers who are being persecuted. Real persecution. Not hated because they believe in Jesus, but being, you know, stoned by being, losing their job. These kind of things. People who are really being persecuted. He's dealing with people who are trying to maintain their theology as wolves come in and destroy them. Right? Paul talks about these people coming in and perverting the gospel. In Galatians, 2 Thessalonians, here in Hebrews. These people are dealing with that. And also, they are dealing with all kinds of other religions all around them. That is who Paul is talking to. He's talking to a group of people who have found, they believed in some other god. They believed in Zeus. They believed in Odin. They believed in these other gods. And they found the saving love of Jesus Christ. And they are just doing what they can to maintain their Christianity. And it just seems like the Satan is wearing them down, right? He's accusing. He's an adversary. He is wearing down the saints. He is coming after them and bombarding them and bombarding them and bombarding them. And they say, you know, God, I am weary. I'm trying to maintain. And the point that I'm trying to say is, like, we can say the same exact thing today in our culture, can't we? I was listening to news a little bit today while I was at work and just hearing some of the bills that are trying to get pushed through the Senate. And what am I thinking this, that man, I could be so tired of being a believer. I could be so tired of being old-fashioned, being accused of being old-fashioned. I could be tired of these things. But do you know what? In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, do not be weary in well-doing. And how does the verse finish? For in due season you shall reap. You shall reap if we faint not. Meaning this, that in my life, that God has such a great treasure for me. He has something so magnificent, so beautiful for me in my life, that He wants me to attain this. But the thing is that I can't faint. How do I not faint? Like, as we're saying, I'm using all of my personal strength just to hang on to the rope, Lord. I'm using everything that I have just to hang on. And I'm trying not to faint, Lord, but I am done. I am tired. Let's turn to another verse. Let's turn to Psalms 84. Those words for your hands to hang down and your knees to be feeble, you know, those are actually in the active voice. No, sorry, they're in the passive voice, meaning like I am receiving the action of being paralyzed. I am receiving the action of living in fear. I am receiving the action of being tired, of being weary. Why? Why am I receiving that action? Well, let's turn to Psalm 84, verses 5 through 7. It says, blessed is the man whose strength is in you. You know what happens to my life when my strength is not in God? I lose my grip. I become paralyzed, and I find myself never going forward with God and sitting at a pool waiting for a miracle. How many Christians have stopped going forward with God? How many Christians have stopped imagining what the possibilities of what God could do in our generation? You know, I've grown up in this ministry. My father grew up in this ministry. You know, and it's a really an amazing thing to see what God has done through the years. And I grew up hearing the stories. I grew up hearing the stories of, you know, so-and-so doing this. I grew up, you know, seeing the bus ministry. You know, I there was like 14 buses still. I remember being a little tiny kid, you know, my mom dragging me on a bus, and we went to Rochester, New Hampshire to pick up kids to drag them to church. And to think that there used to be how many buses in South Berwick? I mean, ridiculous. I heard these stories. I remember hearing them. But do you know what? In no way do those stories like squelch my own ambition or my own walk with God and say, well, that's what God did and He's never going to do it again. And I'm just going to sit here and wait for God to do a miracle in my life. That is not what God wants us to do. God wants us to what? To be blessed because our strength is in God. Meaning this, that our power, our motivation, our ability, our authority is in what? God, the person of Jesus Christ. And you know what that causes me to do? That causes me to not be paralyzed. It gives me legs so I can move forward with God and I can see Him do something amazing in Columbia, something amazing in Westminster, something amazing in Owings Mills, that I can see God do something amazing. Why? Because I have legs. God is pulling me forward because I have, my strength is in Him. Well, do you know what else He does? He gives me hands. And they're no longer like, you know, sores on my knuckles from them dragging on the ground. But now I lift them high in the air and I can say, praise you, God. Thank you. Thank you, God, for being so amazing. Thank you for bringing me through the storm. Thank you for revealing your faithfulness in the midst of my trial. Because the church in Galatia, the church in the epistles in Hebrews and Thessalonica, these churches, they were not delivered out of their trouble, were they? No, they never saw what we have today. They lived through amazing, amazing perils that we can only imagine, and we read it in the book of Revelations, and someday we will. But God forbid that we do that now, because I don't know if I'd make it. But do you know what? God is my strength. God is giving me ability to raise my hand and praise him in the midst of that trouble. But listen how this passage continues. Whose heart is set on pilgrimage. What pilgrimage is he talking about? Well, look at verse 6. He says, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. See, people who are trusting in God, what happens to them is they turn these dry places into places of great riches. They turn these dry trials and perilous times, they turn them into places where God's name is glorified, of great there's prophets, there are people that are added to the kingdom. You know, I don't care how far away that America gets away from God. All I care about is my own walk with God. That sounds selfish, doesn't it? But do you know what? If revival doesn't start in my own heart, if there's not a fire in my belly, if my legs aren't ready to run, if my hands aren't ready to praise, then how could I ever go forward? How could I ever ask somebody else around me to go forward? You go on evangelism and your knuckles are dragging. I'm tired. You know Jesus loves you? Really? Because he doesn't look like you know that. And all of a sudden the person I'm evangelizing to starts evangelizing me. Has that ever happened to you? It happens, doesn't it? Yeah. You know what? The joy of the Lord is contagious, isn't it? How do we get the joy of God? We get it through having strength in God. And we can make those places into spring. The rain also, verses 6 continues, the rain also covers it with pools. And here's how we live, in closing. This is how we live. It says we go from strength to strength. This is an interesting passage because it can be viewed two ways. I go from the strength of God to the strength of God, right? That's true, isn't it? Because I find myself often living in weakness. How many of you guys are like, you know, Olympians here, super athletes? You know, your strength to strength, and I get better and better. No, I find myself in my weakness, being strengthened by God. I'm like, okay, I'm a little stronger now. And I go forward, and I'm a little stronger, and I go forward, and I go forward, and I go forward. It can be viewed that way. And here's another way. Is that positional truth becomes my experience because I am so dependent on my walk with God. That I find myself so strengthened by God that I'm actually, and I don't mean this in the wrong way, but I have this ability in my walk with God to have strength. Right? Like because I've walked with God, I have God in my life, and I have strength, so I can go. And from strength, and I can go to strength again and strength again because of what God has done in my life. Sometimes this is done in weakness. Other times there's not much weakness because I am so strong in my walk with God. And do we see this in the Bible? Absolutely. We see it with Daniel, the three Hebrew boys. We see it with David, that many times that he walked in his relationship with God from strength to strength. We also see it that they had it in weakness. But again and again in the Bible, what do we see? We see people that walked from strength to strength because the Lord was their strength. Amen. Amen. You know, in closing, we mentioned something of the women's marriage seminar, not the women's seminar. Yeah. Men, you were awake, right? All the men were sleeping, so it was a women's seminar. Yeah, we talked about bitterness. And that, again, that's in Hebrews chapter 12. But here is the danger of bitterness. That bitterness could actually cause me to be weary in well-doing, can it? That I did something amazing for God, and I feel like I didn't reap Zoe life. Like, man, I sacrificed my time, and look what I have. And I have my hands, and there's a couple of things in my hand, and it's falling through my fingers. I have nothing to show for it. You know, when I first went on the mission field, Pastor Dwayne talks about in an intro to missions or another class that he taught when I was in Bible school, that a lot of missionaries have the Superman complex. That when they go on the mission field, they're going to transform the nation. You're going to step off the plane. There's going to be a welcoming committee, and everybody's going to be so happy that you're there. You have the message of grace. You have the gospel, and people are going to flock to the church. It's not true, is it? God gives us one or two, and then we're there for 10 years, and it's like, oh my gosh, I was like hoping by now there'd be thousands, and I'm like, I got five, and one of them sleeps the whole entire service. The other one's here because we're going to feed them after church. The other one's my wife. We're Baptist numbers now, so I'm counting my dog. That's how depressed I am. And in 10 years, and I say, oh, I have nothing. And I come home, and I feel defeated. I feel weary because I've worked so hard in the kingdom of God. It happens, doesn't it? Yeah. It happens, yeah. We become weary and well-doing. But do you know what? That is not wasted time. You worked hard, and that was your strength that God gave you. I don't believe that you did that in the flesh. I believe the Spirit motivated you and you did that. I just believe that you allowed bitterness to come into your life. And I believe that you allowed bitterness to come into your life and take away Zoe life. That's what happened. That God took away, that you allowed bitterness to come in, and Zoe life was taken away. And as we're seeing here, that we can be strengthened by God. We've mentioned a lot of verses. On Sunday, we preached in Frederick, Isaiah 41, verses 8 through 10. And in verse 10, he says, I will help you. I will strengthen you. I am your God. And what I love about that is that he's talking to a nation who refuses to repent. When we get weary in well-doing, when we are doing the work of God and we are weary, sometimes we refuse to repent and get right with God, and we live in that weariness. Sometimes for years, we live in weariness because of our own free will, not because of the devil, not because of the power of God is unable to get me out of there, but because of my choice to live in weariness. But sometimes, even in that state, God says, I will help you. I will strengthen you. Why? Because I am your God. Tonight we are living in dark days. But you know what? I don't care. It doesn't matter. We're going to go on the streets and we're going to preach. We're going to have worship nights in woke cafes. We're going to do sketchboard and have some, what do you call those guys? They think they're animals, so they call furries or something. We saw someone Saturday on outreach, and we're going to teach the Bible. We're going to teach that you're a sinner, that you're saved by grace, and you could go to heaven. But if you reject, you'll be in hell. We're going to share the gospel. We're going to share the good news, and we're going to do it with our hands raised high. Why? Because God is the one who has strengthened us. Amen. Okay, let's say a prayer. So, Heavenly Father, with all of our heads bowed, and if you're a believer tonight, be praying for the person next to you. But if you're not a believer, and you found yourself very weary, and you have tried to fill that God-shaped hole in your heart with alcohol, with relationships, with entertainment, with many things, and you feel your still feel yourself weary, that's because that God-shaped hole is meant for God. And if you have never received God into your heart, you've never received Christ, you can very simply say this prayer quietly in your heart. You can say, "Dear Jesus, I am tired of working so hard to make myself just and make myself right and to have a good life. And I realize that because of my flesh and because of my sin, I'm going to reap evil things, things that are dead. But you, Jesus, you paid for my sins on the cross. And I accept you as my Savior. I accept you as my King. And I want to have faith in you. I accept you as my Savior." If you said that for the very first time, it's a simple prayer. But again, it's the heart towards God right now. And if you said that and you meant it with everything, if you could just raise your hand, there's ushers here that would love to give you a Bible and talk to you and encourage you in your faith and help you to understand this reaping and the sowing that we have. Is there anybody? And for us believers, if we could just say a quick prayer to God and a quick praise to God. We praise Him for His work and we pray to Him for His strength. We just thank you and praise you. You are King, you are Lord. We worship you. We are thankful. In Jesus' name, amen.